بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Imagine that you are sitting in your backyard or maybe in your balcony having a barbecue or something, and all of a sudden you hear a rumble. You hear a loud rumbling sound and you look across the street and the house or the building across from you all of a sudden is collapsing. What are the words or what is the expression that escapes your mouth at that moment? Or imagine if you are in your car and you're driving along the 401, 100, 110, 120 kilometers an hour, don't do more than that, please. And the car in front of you all of a sudden brakes very hard and you realize that you won't be able to stop and you're going to rear end the vehicle in front of you. What are the words that would escape your mouth? Would it be, oh my God? Would it be, oh, followed by a four-letter word you don't want others to hear? Would it be, as my mother would say, Bismillah or La ilaha illallah? Now think of a conversation you had recently. It could be yesterday, it could be a few days ago, on the phone, with a friend, a relative, a co-worker. And, you know, think of all the things that you talked about. So they could be good, they could be bad. Now, did you know that that conversation was being recorded? Now, I'm not saying this because, you know, CC is after you, or because your telephone line is tapped, or you have, you know, a bug or a recording device inside your home. But in fact, the fact of the matter is that All of the words that we have spoken in our life have been recorded. So that includes the good words that we spoke to our friends, to our family members, to our parents, to our relatives, to our friends, to our co-workers, our colleagues. And in the same way, all the bad words, all the negative conversations that we had, all the times that, you know, we used profanity, or when we lied, or when we were backbiting or slandering others. All of these, every single one of those words has been recorded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِن قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Not a word does he or she utter, but there is a watcher by that person ready to record it. So every single word that escapes our mouth, every single letter that is used, that is used for either good or bad, that comes out from our mouth and our tongues, every single one of it is recorded by the angels, and we will be accountable for every single one of those words that we have spoken. Now, I worked as a reporter, as a journalist before, and normally what happens is, you know, as a reporter, you either want to take notes when you're interviewing someone, or as I would like to do, I would like to record my conversations because I was really bad at taking notes. But sometimes you'll have people who want to tell you something that you don't want to use, that they don't want used in an article, for example. Or something they want to tell you, but they don't want you to quote them. So they'll say, I'll tell you off the record. Off the record means that whatever I'm saying now, don't take note of it, or at least don't use it in your story, and I don't want it attributed to me, and I'm just letting you know. When it comes to our lives, there's no such thing as being off the record. If you think of the words that we speak, you know, simply they're what? Sounds. Sounds that are represented by combinations of letters. Right? These are sounds that are coming out of my mouth. These are words that are made up of combination of letters. Yet it's amazing how much power these words and this single piece of flesh, this tongue. It's amazing how much power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into these. They have the power to build. They have the power to enhance relationships, other things. The power to transmit knowledge, good ideas that may be materialized. You know, improvements in life, in our country, in our city. So many good things that can come out of this single piece of flesh. On the other hand, if you use it for negativity, if you use it for something that is bad, for something that is counterproductive, then we will find that it also can cause enmity, it can be a source of hatred, a source of strife, a source of loss, many types of losses, including the loss of trust. The Prophet ﷺ has said that the Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands people are safe. The Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands people are safe. Now there's different narrations. Some say that the believers are safe. Some in some narrations it is said that people are safe. And the Prophet ﷺ goes on and says, and the believer is the one who is trustworthy with people's lives and people's wealth. So we've got to realize that the words that we use for others can have impact on their lives, can have an effect on people's reputations, can have an effect on how people are perceived by others, can have an effect on what people think of one another. And that is something that is very, very important. It's an important responsibility when it comes to the use of words. So the quality of a Muslim, according to this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the quality of a Muslim is to restrain one's tongue in one's hands so they don't hurt anyone else. Restraining the tongue. Restraining the tongue and restraining the hands. The tongue, again, simple piece of flesh that we all have. Yet it is a very powerful weapon. A single piece of flesh, but a very powerful weapon. So much so that it is so powerful and sharp that it can be very dangerous as well, not for the person necessarily against whom it is being used, but rather for the person who holds the tongue. So the person, the owner of the tongue, that tongue can be very dangerous against them as well, because it can actually hurt that person. This is very, very profound. So let's pay attention to this. The Prophet ﷺ reported to have said, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, certainly the servant of Allah, meaning a human being, a Muslim, may speak a single word. A single word for which he descends into the fire farther than the distance between east and west. So the distance that we know of between east and between west, a person can delve that far into the fire, into the punishment, simply because of one word. Simply because of one word, a single utterance can descend a person that far into trouble. And that example, an example of that, is clearly given by the Prophet ﷺ, again narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He says, I heard the Apostle of Allah, I heard the Rasul of Allah ﷺ say that there were two men among the Bani Israel. So among the Bani Israel, there were two men who were striving for the same goal. One of them would commit sin, and the other would strive to do his best in the world. So there are two men, and one is a sinner, and the other is trying to do his best. The man who exerted himself in worship continued to see the other in sin. So the person who was trying to do good, he was trying to strive and do his best, he continued worshiping, but he started seeing the other one, he started noticing that the other person is a sinner. He started thinking, okay, you know, he's always committing sins. I look at him, he's not doing anything good. I'm worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And instead, he is going deeper and deeper in sin. And he would say to him, refrain from it. Refrain from it. So he would do da'wah to him. He would, you know, invite him towards good. And he would encourage him to stop doing, committing the sins that he was committing and to start doing good. One day he found him in sin and said to him, refrain from it. So once again, it so happened that he was passing by, or somehow he saw him, the other person, and he was involved in the sin, and he told him again, he said, refrain from it. So the person who was committing the sin, he got annoyed. Okay, so he tells someone, you know, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. So he got fed up. So he said, okay, leave me alone with my Lord. He said, leave me alone with my Lord. Have you been sent as a watchman over me? Like, what's the problem with you? Why do you keep bothering me and telling me to stop? Okay, well, like, you know, leave me alone. It's between me and my Lord, and you know, what are you, some sort of guard over me? So the person who was inviting him towards good now, Right? So the one who is worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's trying to do good and trying to encourage the other from stopping, from committing sins, what escapes his mouth? He also gets annoyed and he responds, I swear by Allah, Allah will not forgive you nor will He admit you to paradise. La ilaha illallah. So he gets annoyed and he says, I swear by Allah, wallahi, Allah will not forgive you nor will He admit you to paradise. And then their souls were taken back by Allah and they met together with the Lord of the worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to this man, so remember, he was a worshipper. He was the one who was doing good. He was the one who was trying to stop the other from falling into sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, had you knowledge about me? Did you have knowledge about me or did you have power over that which I had in my hand? So this forgiveness, this business of forgiving others and granting entry into paradise is in my domain. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Who gave you the authority, some sort of certificate or some sort of position to pass judgment on others and say that, oh, by Allah, Allah will not forgive you and you will never enter paradise. Who gave you that power? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the man who was the sinner, go and enter paradise by my mercy. And to the other, about the other, he says, take him to hell. So simply because of these words, a few words, that this person, so he was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's trying to stop others, but because of this attitude, because of these few words that escaped his mouth, where he thought that, I'm so good, and this person is a continued sinner, so therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't forgive him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't enter him into paradise. That was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like. So because of these few words, his entire life in the hereafter were turned around. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, by him in whose hand my soul is, meaning by Allah, he spoke a word by which this world and the next world of his were destroyed. So because of these few words, his entire future in the hereafter was destroyed. So the lesson from this is that we need to be extremely, extremely careful about the words that we use. Extremely, extremely careful. Sometimes we don't realize it. Sometimes we don't realize it. We start passing judgment on people, doubting their sincerity, doubting their intentions, and it keeps going on and on and on, right? We keep going deeper and deeper into this. Then we start doubting their faith to the point where we start passing judgment on their faith on the day of judgment. And this is something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. This is not in our hands. This is not, something, an authority that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. What's also important is to be careful about mocking those who are pious. Those who are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are trying to serve the deen, be careful. Be careful about the word. Sometimes we disagree with someone. Or we have, a scholar or an imam or someone who our scholar or our imam disagrees with. So we take full liberty to then go ahead and bash them. And to make all these assumptions about them and to spread, negative feelings and negative thoughts about them. Be very, very careful about this, dear brothers and sisters. Restraining the tongue, it seems simple, easier said than done. But restraining the tongue can save us from a lot of trauma. Just restraining the tongue. If each one of us can give ourselves control over our tongues, it can save us from a lot of trouble. Not only in this world, but also in the hereafter as well. Among the most common sins of the tongue. So we use our tongue, our mouth to speak every day. I'm doing so right now as well. And every day, or almost every day, we end up falling into many of these pitfalls that come from our tongue. And if we are able to control our tongues, and to just hold it back, restrain it a little bit, we can stay away from all of these troubles. So first of all, lying. Lying. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes or has tagged lying as one of the signs of the hypocrites, of the munafiqun. One of the qualities. And this is, we think, when I'm saying this, we think, well, I don't really lie. I don't lie, I told the truth. Right? But we think about our lives now. All the times that we might have lied to our boss, for example. Right? Taking a sick day, you're not really sick. Right? take it. You know, lying to our children, right? So promising them things just to calm them down, but then not really delivering on those promises. Lying to the government. You know, for some reason we think that's okay to do. Right? Oh, it's the government, it doesn't really have a face, you know, whatever, they're not Muslims anyway, so we just lie to them. No. So you're crossing the border, you know, have you bought anything? No, not really. You only have some stuff, like, you know, hidden in the bag somewhere. If you get busted, you'll get in trouble anyway, first of all, and then you'll get in trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So please don't do that. You know, lying when it comes to our taxes as well, lying to the tax man. You know, for some reason, it's okay to cheat on our taxes. No, these are not the qualities of the believers. Or lying to anyone else. Right? So we think of lying, when we think of lying, when I talk about lying, we think about our immediate relationships. We think that, oh, we don't really do that. But if we dig a bit deeper, then we realize that that may not be so true. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu stated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, truthfulness leads to piety. And what does piety lead to? Piety leads to Jannah, leads to paradise. A man should be truthful until he is written down as truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person who continues to strive for the truth, a person who continues to speak the truth, no matter what, there comes a point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes him down, labels him as the truthful person. And this is what we should all strive for. On the other hand, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, lying leads to transgression. So what does lying lead to? Lying leads to transgression. And we see many times, I've experienced it as well, if a person lies once, then after a little bit, you need to lie again to cover up that lie. Because a lie is never going to fit into the piece, right? Because it's not truth. So you're always going to have a piece of the puzzle that's not going to fit in, right? Or that's going to be missing. So you lie once, and then you're like, oh, I have to lie again to cover that up. Then you lie to cover that up, and you keep lying and lying and lying and lying and lying until all of a sudden one day, boom, the whole web of lies gets untangled, and you're the one who's caught in the embarrassment. So lying, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, lying leads to transgression, and transgression leads to the fire. So truthfulness leads to paradise, to the garden of paradise, whereas lying leads eventually to the fire. A man will lie until he is written down as a liar with Allah. La ilaha illallah. Imagine facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are labeled as a liar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala welcomes you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you go and you face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the label that you have been given is a liar. Would any one of us want to be in that situation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Backbiting as well. Right? We often hear about backbiting, especially when it comes to Ramadan. You know, we hear about backbiting and avoiding backbiting and so on. We teach our children as well, right, who come to our school, and specifically tell them backbiting doesn't actually mean biting someone's back, literally, right? But to speak in a way about someone that they wouldn't like. Whether it's true, actually when it's true. When it's not true, then it's even worse, because then it's slander. So speaking behind someone's back in a way that they would not like. When it's true. When it's not true, that's even worse, because then it is slander. And this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly explained to his companions, radiallahu anhu. So when we find ourselves in a situation where there is backbiting going on, especially when we're speaking, this is unfortunately again very common. Right? Two, three people get together, you know, talk about the weather, talk about something else. Next thing you know, they talk about someone else. Right? Maybe at work as well. You know, go to the water cooler. A few people get out, go out for coffee, go for lunch, and you start talking about someone else. Start backbiting about the boss. Start backbiting about a coworker. Or in our home, start talking about a family member, about a friend, about some other person. Be very, very careful about this. Cut it out as soon as it starts. As soon as you realize you're going towards backbiting, change the subject. Say something good about the person, change the subject. If you're a witness to that conversation, then step out, go outside, change the topic, do something else. Argumentation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that I guarantee a house in Jannah. I guarantee a house in paradise for who? For one who gives up arguing, even if he or she is in the right. Right? A lot of times we think, you know, especially if you're right, we feel like we have a right to continue arguing. Right? We want to make our point. We want to make sure that we come out on top. We want to make sure that we defeat our adversary in this debate. But the Prophet ﷺ is actually discouraging us from continuing arguments. Even if you are in the right, even if you believe that you are speaking the truth, if the argument is getting worse, if it's not leading to any good, let it go. Let it go, and inshallah you will be rewarded for that. So it goes without saying that don't look to start arguments. Sometimes we find ourselves in the mood to have a debate, have an argument with someone. You know, we like to go around picking arguments with people. So we're talking on the phone with someone, and we'll try to say something to, you know, to instigate them a little bit, or to, you know, push them a little bit so that they respond and they start an argument. Please, don't do that. And if you find yourself in an argument, don't add fuel to the argument. Right? Don't add fuel to an argument, rather extinguish it. Extinguish the argument. Right? I like to compare it to a ping pong game. Right? So we have table tennis, we have a table outside now for table tennis, and you know, often children and adults are playing ping pong. I like to compare it to that. One person says something, hits the ball once, you know, serves, and the other person likes to hit it. And then you keep hitting, and then one person starts hitting harder, the other harder, and then boom, right? And then the ball flies off. So in the same way, the argument. When we start argumenting, start debating with people, that's what it leads to. We say one thing, I'm going to say one thing, the other person's going to try to counter back. Or in our kids' language, they're going to try to diss me, right? So then they do that to me, then I try to turn around and do the same thing, and it keeps going back and forth. So don't do that. Don't do that. Just stop it. Just stop it there. Just bury it. Just extinguish it. Walk away. Get out of there. Inappropriate joking. The Prophet ﷺ in that same hadith says, I guarantee a home in the middle of Jannah for one who abandons lying even for the sake of fun. And this is especially relevant for our younger friends. Right? That the Prophet ﷺ is guaranteeing a house in paradise for you if you forsake, if you stop lying, even if it is for fun. So it's not cool. Right? It's not funny to lie to make other people laugh. This is not the quality of a believer. This is not the quality of a Muslim. To make others laugh, you know, at the expense of others, or by making up lies and things that are not true. This is not the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not the way of the believers. Speaking out of anger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La taghdab," don't get angry. Don't get angry. Why? Because anger is a type of insanity. Right? When a person is insane, the person doesn't know what he or she is saying. The person does not realize what he or she is saying. And that can end up hurting others. So again, simply the use of our tongue, especially in anger, can be very dangerous. Can be very, very dangerous because it can hurt others, it can break relationships, it can cause us embarrassment. So don't let yourself get to that point where your anger takes your words and takes your actions out of control. And finally, profanity. The Prophet was not a person who would speak profanity. And again, this is against the quality of the believers. It is against the quality of the believers, and it can be especially tough when you're in school, when you're young, and you have friends, you have classmates around you who are regularly using profanity and are using bad words or are regularly cursing and cussing. Don't fall into that trap. One of the tricks of shaitan is to tell us these are only words. So what? You know, they're four-letter words. What does it mean? They don't really mean anything anyway, right? So what's the big deal? No, there is a big deal. Because this reflects the type of character we have. This reflects on the type of character we have, and the Prophet ﷺ was one of perfect character, and the believer should strive to be the same, and that means restraining the use of your tongue, not using negative, bad, curse words, or anything that is considered to be negative. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Whosoever believes in Allah and the last day," we all do that, right? Whoever believes in Allah and the last day should do what? Should either say something good or should remain silent. Very deep, deep advice from the Prophet ﷺ that can keep us out of a lot of trouble. So no matter what situation you're in, either you say something good, something that will benefit the conversation, something that will improve the relationship, something that will be positive, or you just remain silent. If you have nothing good to say, then just, that's it. Simple solution. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says that it is obligatory for every sane adult to guard the tongue against talking except when it contains a clear benefit. So don't speak unless there is a clear benefit. And if talking and remaining silent are of equal benefit, so if you find yourself in a situation where speaking and remaining silent are equal, then what should you do? Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says that it is sunnah then to abstain. It is sunnah to abstain. Why? Because permissible talking might lead to something undesirable or forbidden. If a person remains silent, he or she is not going to end up saying anything that can hurt them or that can be bad. However, if a person opens their mouth and starts speaking, that creates a possibility that in that conversation, or that conversation might lead to something that is undesirable or something that is forbidden. And he says, as in fact is very often the case. He says, very often this is the case. We start off with something very benign, something normal, and we start talking, and it leads us to, and we end up saying something that can cause more harm than benefit. And he says that nothing matches safety. Nothing matches being safe. So if you can find yourself, if you can put yourself in a situation where you will be safe, you won't be causing trouble to others, hurting others, and you won't be causing trouble for yourself, then just choose that option, keep away from it. So to summarize, what are we saying here? So number one, think before we speak. So we should think before we speak. A lot of times, what we say is very impulsive. You know, we let our tongue loose. Think before you speak. This is one of the signs of those who are wise. Restrain the urge to shoot back when verbally attacked or provoked. And this includes online as well. So if you receive an email from a friend, right, or if you receive a text message from a friend or a relative who is, you know, provoking you or saying something bad or putting you in a negative light, don't just respond and hit the reply button. Just wait. Wait a bit. Think it over. Sleep over it. It's okay. You don't have to respond right away. Okay? People email me, and sometimes I'm very behind in my email, unfortunately, and I apologize for that. But I never take the pressure of, or the obligation of responding right away. You know, we have this nature that, you know, we get a message in our BlackBerry, we get an email, we get a text message, we get a chat message, you have to respond right away. You don't have to respond right away. It's okay. Take your time. If it's not going to help the situation, then remain silent. We just discussed that. Replace bad with good. If a person is being spoken about in a bad way, replace those words with something good. Make it a habit to remain silent as much as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from among those who safeguard their tongues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from among those whose tongues are an asset to them, are an asset for their lives and for their hereafter, and not a liability. You don't want your tongue, you don't want this piece of flesh to be a liability. So that you face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you find out that there's a whole long list of actions that you didn't even know about, but that were caused by this tongue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And finally, I would request everyone to please make dua for the forgiveness of the brother-in-law of Brother Waleed, Barakat, passed away in Lebanon. His name was Ali Abu Qais, and this was due to an accident. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him forgiveness, a high station in paradise, and makes the family and loved ones come through this very difficult time and grants them patience.